Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what a joy to gather in your name. And Lord, we do want to not cut short this time together. And we want to open our hearts to you once again and to your word, Lord. Guide us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, how many of you think there's a lot of a pressure out in the world against the believers? How many of you think there was a lot of pressure against the believers 3,000 years ago? Well, I don't know exactly if this psalm was written 3,000 years ago, because it's another psalm, as we talked about last week, with Asaph having the next 10 or 12 psalms. And it's hard to judge this psalm. This is Psalm 74. It seems like it was written after the destruction of the temple, but that would be around 600 years before Christ, which would have been at least 400 years later than the Asaph of David's time. So if it was Asaph of David's time, he was speaking prophetically in a vision, maybe. Or it's a later Asaph. Or it's just all prophetic period, and the Solomon's temple isn't really specifically mentioned here, but the descriptions sound like it. At any rate, this entitled psalm is a plea or a prayer for relief from oppressors or destroyers. And somebody brought in the headline from the paper where they just passed a terrible Equality Marriage Act yesterday. So we are having destroyers and oppressors continually this day, aren't we? So what do we do about it? Well, here is a psalmist led by the Spirit that prays to God. And the word you with a capital, actually not you, your with a capital is used 20 times in this psalm. There's no mention of me in it. There's no mention of mine in it. There's no mention of my sin in it. So they're fully acknowledging our sin, and that's why these problems are occurring, at least at the time of the writing of the psalm. And because it's people coming against God, against the nation of Israel. And I see it, the same thing would apply to us today on praying to God. And so this psalm is all about God. The first 11 verses are basically the prayer and just pleading and just crying out. And then we have some verses about the awesome power of God, verses 12 through 17, and then we go back to remember the enemy again, and we have some jewels and tucked in here from time to time to praise his name. And so I was all over the map today getting songs for this, because it depends, you can go a lot of different ways with this, but the thing that seemed to kind of capture it to me is verses 2, which says, remember your congregation, and I think that's us, the believers. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribes of your inheritance, which you have redeemed. So have you been redeemed? Absolutely. So I think this is for us. So the hymn that came to mind is 300 years old, not 3,000 years old, but 300 years old, by Isaac Watts. O God, our help in ages past. As I look at that hymn, it is really kind of written basically about Psalm 90, but Psalm 90 is the same general subject of crying out to God for help. And so it says, O God, our help in ages past. That's the way it starts. This is really a good prayer for us, I believe. So let's sing it together and sing it with understanding and meaning with regard to the words here. And then we will get into Psalm 74.
Thank you.
300 years ago, actually 312 years ago, I think it is, this song was written by Isaac Watts. And anytime you see one of his hymns, spend some time on it and you'll get a Bible study because it's so biblical. Psalm 74, a plea for relief from oppressors, a contemplation of Asaph. Verse 1, O God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Now, by the way, that's an incorrect interpretation of what's going on. God never hates us. He never withdraws in anger unless we reject him. And then we are open for correction. But he says, remember your congregation, which you purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Jerusalem or Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. Doesn't that seem like the wickedness out there is just perpetual, right? Yeah. We get a bad bill passed and we say, oh, I can't believe how bad that is. Well, just wait 2 days and you get another one, right? You get, and on, perpetual. So that's what it seems like. Lift up your feet, Lord, to the perpetual desolation. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Now, I really believe we're going to be talking about some physical damage here. We know that the temple itself was destroyed by Babylon, and then it was rebuilt by Nehemiah's time, to a degree, the second temple, and then it was destroyed by Rome, and there's no temple there today. So it's been destroyed now since shortly after Jesus' ministry, as you know. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting places. So rather than beautiful, soft, sweet, thankful music, the enemies are roaring in there. And this roar, by the way, is a mighty roar. They're making all kinds of blasphemous noise. So the soldiers come right in to the sanctuary, apparently, with a lot of noise. They set up their banners, their military flags, for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees. So even in those days, they would have contest to see who could chop down a big tree most quickly. Axe strength, you know, who's the biggest axe man? Well, now these axe men are doing what? Now they break down the carved work of the finished work in the temple, I would think, all at once with axes and hammers. Remember seeing any of those sites of ISIS when they smashed everything when they came into Iraq there, into that was what they were doing. They were just taking sledgehammers and knocking the precious artworks down and so forth. But here is what was going on then, too. They break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. And then, if that's not enough, they've set fire to your sanctuary. They have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. Now, that sounds like when the temple was totally destroyed by Rome, because the foundations and all were still there by Babylon, because, you know, Nehemiah came in and they rebuilt on some of the foundations. Anyway, but, you know, maybe I'm reaching here, I don't know. But anyway, broken down to the ground, they said in their hearts, let us destroy them all together. I was like Hitler, right? Or whoever. Going to wipe out everybody, right? We're going to destroy. That was the Jews, but this was against Israel too at that time. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. So no more meeting places. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but it seems like we're on our way. Verse 9, we do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet. Now, this is really scary when the Lord stops talking to a people. I mean, it's in a way bad enough to get his righteous judgment being shown, but when he just withdraws and doesn't speak anymore, that's even a further indication, apparently, of his withdrawal. And of course, we can think of, for example, 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. There was basically no prophecies really given that I know of. And here it says, we do not see our signs. There's no longer any prophet. Remember at the time of Babylon, Jeremiah went to Egypt and died there, unfortunately, against his will. Ezekiel was in Babylon. Daniel was in Persia. And there were no prophets left, really, true prophets left. That could fit this time, maybe. There's no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Oh God, how long will the adversary reproach your name? Do you ever think of that? How long is this going to go on? I remember Pastor Chuck 30, would say, I just don't understand the patience of God, how he can go so long in not coming back, right? So this is kind of the same idea here. How long, O God, will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? And I see a sign, a picture like I just saw there of the house yesterday in Washington, and you think, will this go on forever? And then here's the question, verse 11, which is, why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Lord, please take it out of your bosom and destroy them. You ever pray that? I think every day, right? In a way. For God is my king. I love it. This is a beautiful one here. For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. We're going to close on a song that verse struck my heart. For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Now, we're going to jump into some of his strengths here now. Verse 13, you divided the sea by your strength. Well, what sea did he divide? Well, we certainly remember the Red Sea. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the water. You broke the heads of the Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You broke open the fountain and the flood. Any idea of a flood ever occurring? Yeah. Hello, Noah. You dried up mighty rivers. How about going across the Jordan when they conquered Jericho and other times? You dried up mighty rivers. You also dried up, dry up the Euphrates. The day is yours. The night also is yours. We have an amen on that. You have prepared the light and the sun, and you have set all the borders of the earth. Paul talked about that on his sermon to the heathen there in Athens. He says, God has established all the boundaries of man. And here it says, you have set all the borders of the earth. And then talk about climate change. You have made summer and winter. By the way, if anybody noticed today, it's a little cooler today than when we had our heat wave a few weeks ago, right? Summer and winter. Verse 18, remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Yahweh, O Jehovah, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. How true that is. O, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove. Here we're referring to the believers as turtle doves. O, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Now, that certainly isn't poor in spirit. We are rich in spirit, but not necessarily in financial wealth, the believers. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect to the covenant. I like that. What covenant are we talking about? Well, undoubtedly, we always go back to the Abrahamic covenant, which, of course, was renewed with Isaac, was renewed with Jacob, and God has to keep that covenant. You know, right? All the nations will be blessed. And all the good things that were in that covenant, have respect to it, for the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. Isn't that true? The dark places of the earth are full of the haunts, H-A-U-N-T-S, haunts of cruelty, or hiding places, in other words. Homes of the hiding places and so forth are full of cruelty. Verse 21, O, do not let the oppressed or the destroyed return ashamed. let the poor and needy, I like this, praise your name. So praising his name is always in order, isn't it? Always in order, no matter what you're going through. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Then arise or rise up, O God, plead your own cause. I often think we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which we should pray for, but the peace will not come until Messiah comes. So that's in the hands of the Lord, but we want to pray for peace. Arise, O God, plead your own cause. Remember the foolish man reproaches you daily. What does another psalm or two say? Those who do not know God are fools, right? So here's a kind of the same thing. Remember how the foolish man, the man who does not know God, reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies. Well, you don't have to really pray that one. God won't. He knows, he hears. The tumult of those who rise up against you increases continually. So we see here we're not just simply the first people that ever lived in oppression, right? 3,000 years old or close to it, and we see the same pattern over and over and over, don't we? But we're here to pray, and they could pray, and we can pray, and we even have the Holy Spirit in us. They didn't have that at that time. Some of them had it gifted to them, but not every believer had the Holy Spirit until Pentecost, and so here we are, and we have the whole counsel of God, which they didn't have, and we have the proof that the Messiah has come and not only died for our sins, but rose again victorious over sin and death. So we are so blessed, aren't we, on what he has done for us already. So let's just go to prayer now as we are led and pray for the nation or pray for the lost or pray for the church or whatever the Holy Spirit leads us to pray for, we can pray in one accord. So let's pray. Amen to that. Well, let's close here, back to verse 12. For God is my King from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. So let's sing this, Great Things He Has Done.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. Oh,
Father, you have done great things. Lord, thinking there probably will be between 350,000 and 400,000 babies born today. And probably between 150 and 200,000 will die today. Such huge numbers, we can't even get our hands around them. Thinking of a billion population increase in the last 15 years or last 12 years. How many, 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 many people there are. And you love them all and you want them all to be saved. And when we think of how feeble we are and what we can do, we can touch maybe one life, two lives, 10 lives. But you're just asking your people to be faithful, Lord. The best church, Philadelphia Church, you will have a little strength. But it's that little strength that we're held accountable for of the faithfulness. So help us to be faithful, Lord. And those of us who have a little trouble starting a conversation with unbelievers, we got such a beautiful, beautiful way to do that right now. And just with a genuine smile, say Merry Christmas. And as they say Merry Christmas back, it just opens that up so much to talk about the Christ in Christmas. And Lord, help us to use this season for your glory, every season, but especially this season. And so bless your church, Lord, and may we stand for you today and be thankful and grateful for the great things you have done. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for all of your word. And help us to recognize it is living and it is true and changes lives, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.